All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Word with Ty Brownlow. I am your host, Ty Brownlow, and remember, no one is worthless. No story is worthless. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special guest for you. I'll give you a couple of words about my guest. Love, performing, loss, return. All the way from Jacksonville, Florida, please put your hands together for Miss Cassandra DeSunt.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am great. Once again, I appreciate you coming on the platform today and being my guest. And you have a very interesting story. Like, I know my motto is no one is worthless, no story is worthless, but you have quite a story that I think, I'm not going to say a lot of people, because you've done a lot of things, but you know, I think it's something that people go through in life sometimes and they just really don't know. So we're just here to like talk about you. And let me just give my viewers here, my audience, a little background on Miss Cassandra here. Okay. All right. Singer, songwriter. Okay. All right. Musical. So she grew up in Montreal, Quebec. That's Canada for my people who don't really understand. Okay. She grew up in Montreal, people. All right. So for all my people that are like French Canadian and all that, yeah, your side of town. There you go. All right.
Hello, salut.
All right. See, there you go. Okay. But her roots are originally in San Juan, Trinidad. Okay. So the islands, the more Caribbean area, warm. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. But not only that, like, Miss Cassandra, she's like international, all right? She has performed as a solo artist, a vocalist, all right? From Africa to Switzerland, all over the world, y'all, all right? I mean, I haven't been to any of these places, so I know some of you all have, but she's done it all, okay? But not only that, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Let me just tell y'all a little bit about her so we can give her these flowers so we can find out, like, man, Ty, why are you telling us all this? Okay, but just listen. She performed with the world renowned
Cirque du Soleil.
Okay, thank you. For all my French, you know what? I messed up on it. Okay, that's cool. But group Spacey, is that?
Spacey,
all right. And group Iba?
Yep.
All right, okay. So look, international, all around, appeared in films. Okay, an actress here, singer, all these accolades, been featured in Glamour magazine, Forbes magazine. Okay, you gotta have that money, y'all. Business Insider, etc. Okay, and in 2011, 10 years ago, released a successful album, Road to Rebellion. But you know what happened after that, ladies and gentlemen? Poof. And that's what we're here to talk about. So, depression and anxiety. We are living in times right now where a lot of people are unsure of a lot of things, just because of the nature that's around them, let alone the personal battle that people are fighting. So, we want to talk about you. Now, I just said all this fabulous stuff here about you. Let's hear it from your side. Like, take us like from the beginning, you know, up to 2011, you know, like you growing up in Montreal and, you know, you getting your like, you know, feet wet in music. Like, how did, you know, all this start and why walk away?
So my musical journey spans decades, right? Because I started as a youngster. My mom first figured out, okay, this kid's got something in her. Because at a really young age, like 5, 6 years old, I was harmonizing on key with Hindi records. And if you've ever listened to Hindu music, it's quite difficult to sing. quite. So my mother, you know, she wasn't musically inclined, but she picked up on the fact that, wow, my child really loves music. All right. So we immigrated to Montreal, and immediately I went to elementary school, and my music teacher called my mom and said, you need to put your child in music classes, like, immediately. Okay. You know? Because she's gifted. That's the word that she used, was that I was gifted. Because my ear was so attuned. I didn't know how to sight read at that point, right? Mm. But within, I think she said, the teacher said, within like 2 months, I was sight reading. Like, we were playing recorder and I had just picked up and I was sight reading. So she's like, your daughter is just naturally attuned to music, you know? So my mom, she was a single mom. And at that time she was working as a hotel maid at the Holiday Inn. So she was making like $4 an hour back in those days in the 1980s. So you can imagine lessons were costing like $20 an hour at conservatory. So she made the sacrifice to send me for like half lessons, you know? She did what she could, but she still supported my talent. Even to the degree that she could, she worked 3 jobs. So I was in church choir. I played, you know, bells, choir bells. I was in Christmas pageants. In high school, I was in 3 jazz bands. I was in 2 orchestras. I was first chair. Like, I was just kind of destined to be a musician. That was all I wanted to do. That's all I cared about. And so graduated high school, went to CJEP college, and I was accepted into music, right, as a first chair. And I decided, you know, by that time, in the middle of that, I was, as I said, performing in gospel choirs, but then I had gotten into a particular choir that I got lucky to end up performing as a back vocalist for Cirque du Soleil in their first 3 albums. So as an 18-year-old, I'm now exposed to this massively different world, you know?
Yes.
And I fell in love with it because world music was something I had never been exposed to until Cirque du Soleil. Because Cirque du Soleil's music, a lot of it is made up. Like, especially what the singers sing, they're not real words except for maybe Alegria. But yeah, everything's made up. And I was just in this whole new world of music, and I was just like, wow. The creativity of it it drew me in. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, forget being an orchestra. Because my goal was I was going to be an orchestra player. I was going to tour the world and I was going to join an orchestra, and that was my life. No, okay. Now, forget that plan. I become a vocalist, backing vocalist for a lot of big world name artists that were coming through the town. And Montreal is one of the biggest musical cities on the planet.
Yes, it is.
Right? Mm-hmm. Has the largest jazz festival in the world.
Yes, it does. I was going to talk about that, but go ahead. Come on now.
Yeah, so Montreal, I rep Montreal hard because from a cultural perspective, you have over 80 different nationalities living in the same city. You are bound to hear interesting things and new sounds and just different approaches to music. So I was fortunate enough to meet people who did not look like me. We were Black, but like, they came from the motherland. You know, all my band musicians are all from Africa. You know, from Senegal, from Ivory Coast, from Mali, from Cameroon. Like, I just was thrown into a completely different world, you know? And as a Christian, you know, growing up in the church, gospel, you know, people were like kind of looking at me sideways, like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be going into that world.
Yeah. Okay. Come on.
Right? Come but on. I have a hard head, so I don't really listen well. And I want what I want, and I kind of did just do what I want. So, long story short, that really was the beginning of me exploring as a singer, as a musician. And I was still really shy because I never really thought I had the best voice. You know, when you're in a gospel choir, you've got all these big vocalists and they can run circles around you. And I was more, you know, I'm a harmony girl. You want a harmony? I can give you 7 of them in one shot, just like that, right? That's my specialty. So I'm gonna stick to what I know.
Right.
And then finally, a friend of mine, he was like, what are you doing? Why do you shun the light? You know? And he's like, God's given you this gift. Use it. He's like, you're not meant to stay in the church. He's like, do you think God intends for everybody to stay in the church? You know? So I was like, okay, you may have a point. And okay. Then, yeah, so then coming to around like 2007, moving through all this, in the middle of this, I'm acting. I started modeling when I was 16. Like, I was in the arts, so I was doing all the things, right? And 2007 was when I just started to put, you know, put my thoughts to paper and put them in a cohesive way that became music. It was all, for me, it's poetry with, you know, with musical instrumentation. That's what lyrics are to me, right? So some songs were, you know, love letters. Some songs were looking at my past and the trials that I had faced. Especially during childhood, and that's one of my songs called Free Me, that if you listen to the lyrics, I'm telling you the story of my life through that song. And a lot of the songs still had the, you know, the spiritual connotation to it, the spiritual influence, but, you know, that first album was urban pop, very far removed from gospel music, you know, and Road to Rebellion. I really wanted to push past this perception that people put you in these little boxes and you're expected to live in these boxes. And I don't do well yet. I don't do well with boxes, right? Mm-hmm. So that was why I titled that album Road to Rebellion, because I was just taking a whole new path. Mm-hmm. It was very different to what I knew. And I didn't know what I was gonna meet on that road, but I just knew I had to take that road. So, you know, in the meantime, I'm performing with artists. Like I said, you know, I've been to Africa, Mali, Burkina Faso, performed in the UK, Scotland, France, you know, all these beautiful places. And I'm still working full time doing all these things, right? I'm still a professional here, but I just made it work. You know, I made it work, made the album, released the album. It was well received. And like you said, silence. And a lot of things, well, I guess we'll talk about that, but a lot of things came into play. And the first thing was that I didn't like the light. So what I mean by that is that I didn't like the attention. I wanted to create my little art and just, you know, I can, you know, disseminate it and then I can go back to hiding. Because that's where I felt safe.
Gotcha.
Right. And now, you know, people, you know, want to talk about me, whether good or bad, because, you know, don't think that you're going to put a product and everyone's going to like it. Right. So some people didn't like it. Some people were questioning, well, why did I go down that musical path? There was a lot of angst there. And I just felt like also like, I don't think I'm ready for this. Right now, you know, I love the creative process,
yes.
But like the after that came, that potentially came with it. Mm-hmm. So I started to pull from performing, even performing live, and performing live is my jam. Like, I don't ever have to record another album again, but being live, being with people and sharing energy is what I am about. You know, that's where music really gets communicated, is through one's spirit. And even then, I lost my whole desire. And in that same time, I was going through a lot of transitions, some good, some bad. Mm-hmm. Financially, it was tough. I was now working to pay off $55,000 of debt, you know, that I had gotten myself into from a 10-year period, mm-hmm. Clawing my way out of that. At that time, I met my now husband. I got remarried. We began a over four and a half year long distance courtship / marriage, you know. Mm. So that was challenging me at the same time. I lost my stepfather in 2013, and he was really pivotal for me. My mom, who we were like thick as thieves, my mom during this last 10 years, she was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia, and I became her primary caregiver. And she was living in Montreal, and by that time I had remarried and immigrated to the US. So I was flying back every quarter, make sure she was okay and she's taken care of, and eventually put her into a long-term care facility. And you know what I mean? All that weight on me, you know, I had that, I was a primary breadwinner, you know, I have family back home. There's just a lot demanding my attention and I had to prioritize, and music was no longer the priority. So in the middle of that, you know, I'm working in engineering. I'm working as an engineering, you know, software engineer and project manager. It's very demanding. I'm always traveling. And at one point I went beyond burnout. And then my father died in 2015, 4 weeks to the day he died, my sister passed away. It was just a lot. And, you know, I'm still supposed to just smile and wave, like, because that was the expectation of me, because that's how I always was that, you know, I was just like, you know, living life, like my best life, and it wasn't my best life, you know? And so I, in 2019, I resigned from my job. I had actually taken like 3 months off before I went on sick. And for as a Black woman, as a Black person, to say that I'm going to not work because of my mental issue,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That there's a shame in that we've been kind of programmed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes, that is true, but.
Right. But I decided, I'm like, you know what? Who's gonna say what is gonna say what? Like, I need some peace of mind. Literally, I need peace of mind. And I need the time and the space to figure out who I am in the middle of all this, you know, what is gonna make me happier? You know, what do I need to get rid of? Like, I just needed a whole redefinition of me in life. And so I gave myself a year off work. Mm-hmm. I was start, you know, and it was really hard.
Okay.
Yes, because all I know is just go, go, go. Right. So for me to sit home and just trying to like, okay, this is cute. Like after day three, I was like, okay, give me a project or something because this isn't working, you know?
All right.
But that was exactly, I had to face me. I had to face a lot of things, and not only just like stress from work and stuff, but, you know, coming to the realization that, you know, sometimes your priorities, like they are in conflict, and to kind of get to a place where you make a peace towards it. So like, at some point I was like, well, I can't do my music, you know? And I'm like, it's not that I can't do my music. It's like, I love my mother more than I can do my music, right? Mm-hmm. And I never wanted to have any regrets when it came to my mom and ensuring that her well-being came first. Like, that was more important to me than music. So I just had to like reassess a lot of things, a lot of people in life, and just start over in some ways, to be honest with you.
Well, let me just say this, you know, hats off to you, you know, because A, you're very transparent in everything you're saying, okay? And let's just take time to really process what it is we're talking about here, you know, because some people, as you said, you know, some people's perception of things may be like, well, I don't know why you're going to do this. You know, you have this and you have that and you have all these things going, you know, just keep going and everything's going to work itself out. But in the end, no, it's not, because, you know, you're not going through what I'm going through. And sometimes, you know, I talk about, you know, people getting to the destination a little too soon, you know? And sometimes when you get there a little too soon, like, okay, this is where I always wanted to be, but now that I'm here, what do I do? You know? So sometimes, you know, in your mind, the destination may be real long, but no, the path is really that short. So it's really right there. And then, you know, you get there, you're like, oh, wait a minute, wasn't I supposed to be thinking about some stuff? Well, no, because now you're here, I need you to do this, and this, and that, and this, and that. And, you know, on one hand, your dreams are being fulfilled, but on the other hand, life is happening without you, you know, sometimes with you there, but you may not even be in that moment because of all these other things. And some of the things that you talk about remind me of, you know, some of the guests that I had on one time, and she talks about the handler syndrome. The handler syndrome is basically not being able to say no, because you know, it's not that you can't say no, but you don't like, you know, disappoint or let anyone else down. But yet at the same time, like you said, you're beyond burnout. Okay, like, I don't even know how I'm running. Like, there aren't even fumes. Like, I don't even know how this machine is working. Okay?
Yeah.
But it's working. So, you know, eventually, you know, it comes to a point where the things that I used to love, it's not that I don't love it, but, you know, it's
worse. It's like a burden. For me, it felt like a burden.
So, like, man, like, okay, if I go and I record and I do this over here, you know, man, this is a little bit more important. So, man, look, as I said before, at the top, when we first started, anxiety and depression is real. And,
yeah,
you know, I really love your story, because your story's real. This is real, ladies and gentlemen. Like, we're not coming up with any, like, fancy names. Nobody selling a book. No offense to all that, you know, because I have them on here, you know, from time to time. I probably got one on here later on, but that's okay. But this is real, you know, and that's what I said, you know, I love your story, because your story's real, you know, like, and I'm gonna go back to what we were talking about before, like, getting to your destination. I'm here. Wow. I'm doing all these things, man. I'm making this, I'm making that. Okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But as you said before, you just wanted to create and go back to your space.
Yeah.
Like, man, look here.
Hi, look, and bye.
Hello, everybody. Look here, man. I'm just here to make this music, and then I'm gonna leave. Oh, no. You're gonna stay. And, you know, mentally and emotionally, sometimes we're not ready for that, you know?
Oh, I wasn't. I can tell you right now, I wasn't ready for what entailed. I wasn't ready for the responsibility of it all. I wasn't ready for it to be really all resting on my shoulders, that financially I had to, like, I wasn't ready for all that. And I just felt like I was in many ways unsupported, right?
Okay, you know? Come on, well, right? Okay, so look, no, hold on now. Okay, see, she just, man, look here, she just rang, ding, 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 ladies and gentlemen, she just rang the bell. You just said it, okay? You just said something very important, and A, I don't really think we take enough time to think about what she just said. She just said that she didn't feel supported. When people know that you're going through something, man, you don't always have to have the answer. Sometimes you just being there. Hey, you know what, man, Cassandra, let's go to a movie, you know? Let's go to a game, or hey, you know what? This movie's on tonight, let's watch this movie. Or hey girl, you know, let's go for a walk or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say, but you know, just being there for you and helping you through something sometimes. And it's not always about words, it's really about action. And
yeah,
when there's no action and you don't feel supported and all these other things are, you know, crashing down on you, yeah, like, anyone wants to go, you know, hide under a rock or a box or anything. So look, all right, but ladies and gentlemen, now, you know, okay, now you know, you all are like, well, man, Ty, you normally do an upbeat show. Look, yes, I do an upbeat show. But we're not done. We're not done. We just took you through all that. Look, you all didn't hear my words. Love, performing, loss, return. Okay? We're gonna talk about this return. All right? Because after a 10-year hiatus, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
It's a decade. Yeah, I sit sometimes, I'm like, oh my gosh, very auspicious. I'm a decade later. And it wasn't planned. It wasn't like I said, okay, in 2021, I'm gonna, like, this was, none of this was planned per se.
Right.
I do believe in the order of things. I do believe that things do happen in the time and space that is allotted, and that things come into creation as it should. I'm very much a believer in things falling into place as they should. So it begins on a sad note, but my mom passed away in January from COVID. So long story short, I had to fly back to Canada, and I was able to be with her literally when she took her last breath. And for that, I am extremely grateful that she didn't die alone, because I know so many people are suffering through this pandemic and they're not able to be with their loved ones at these very, very key moments in life when they're transitioning. So I was given a gift in that experience, even though the loss is extremely difficult. Like, I'm grieving as I'm about to release new music. It's a really interesting time for me, managing the multiple emotions of still grieving my mom, yet she's very present with me. Like, she is very much around me, and she's very much like blessing this endeavor. Like, I see it in very interesting ways. But another gift she gave me is, and a lot of times people, when you look at death, is that it gives you the space to create anew, to bring about new things. It's very much a circular experience. Like, you know, would I have thought to even come back to music in this way if she were present? I don't think so. I don't, because again, she was my first priority, you know? But she also wanted my happiness. She wanted me to live in joy, and she knew music was my joy, you know? So I know she's blessing me. I know that, you know what I mean? All my life, she set me up for success. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with my values, how I look at the world, how great, how I really live in a spirit of gratitude, how I follow the motto of being kind and being generous. You know what I mean? All of these things that inspires me to live my best life. Now I can honestly say I can live my best life, because my mom is like, she's still a driving force for me. She's just not present every day where I can get a phone call or listen to her, you know? So as much as I grieve, I'm grateful, you know, in my grief. So,
okay, say that one more time. I am grateful
in my grief.
I think that's the song. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm grateful in my grief because, you know, her transition, her passage is now allowing me this opportunity to rise in a very new way musically. And, you know, you shared the songs called Be Still. And Be Still was written several years ago, actually. But I have a whole archive of music because I've been writing for a long time. Like, I have another two albums at least in the vault, you know, that I can produce.
Okay.
But Be Still is a song that I think when I pulled out the lyrics, I'm like, oh my gosh, this could have been written yesterday for the times that we are living in, not only because of the pandemic, not only because of racial and social unrest, not only because of economic disparity, not only because our world just seems to be in complete chaos, right? Yes. But the message was literally that we still have hope. As cliche as this sounds, mm-hmm. hope exists every day among us, within us, you know? And that, you know, the song really is about saying of myself that God, through me, I extend my hand to you. I see you. I acknowledge your pain. I hear your ache. I know your sorrow. And it touches every, you know, each line of the song, it touches every aspect of what's going on. It addresses, you know, people literally at the brink of life where you're thinking, should I kill myself or should I not? Because I'm just so in pain. You know what I mean? So I don't shy away from reality because I've lived reality. You know, I've tested suicide. I actually tried to commit suicide when I was 16. Mm. So that's not something that a lot of people know about me, but I'm not afraid to share it because, again, we need more Black faces talking about you know, mental health and anxiety, you know, and depression and every other mental disease, because it's a disease. It's not something that we decide tomorrow, I feel like feeling blue for the next 6 months.
No, you know?
So I've been through the ringer and I can testify because I've lived it, you know? But I never, like you say, I never want to end on a note where there's no answer or there isn't a solution, you know? So my song is a solution and I hope it can help someone. I hope it can help people. And that's why I still create music, because I'm here to serve. I believe in the concept of servant leadership. And it's not only as a program manager in my day job, it's not only as a mother, as a stepmother, as a wife, as a sister, you know, I serve my public through my music. That's my responsibility. If I choose to now come back in the spotlight, it's with a very different definition of spotlight than when I had 10 years ago, because I've matured, right? Lived certain things. So now my mission to come to the spotlight, I'm comfortable with it now because it has a purpose. Very different. Very, very different.
Now, see, I could have asked the question, what's the difference now between, you know, now and 10 years ago, but you just told me what the difference is, you know, and, you know, even going back, you know, past, you know, 10 years ago, even when you were younger, like, yes, I am grateful for the opportunity, but what's the purpose?
Yeah, and understanding that it's greater than me. So I might be a focal point in terms of, okay, connection for music, but it you know, if you have to take yourself out of the equation and understand that, you know, I get to control a lot of the narrative now. I'm in my 40s. You know what I mean? I've lived, right? I lived.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? I'm not concerned with, you know, the fame. I don't care about fame. I care about, you know, impacting people. I care about uplifting people. I care about, you know, bringing positive energy. Those are very different goals, right? So now that I've matured and I'm in that season of that, I'm sharing what I've been given so that you can positively be, you know, blessed and that you can gain from me. It's a different situation altogether now.
Hey, music with a message, ladies and gentlemen, you know, and that's what we really need that at the end of the day. We really need, you know, that message of hope, as you said, you know, to, hey, you know what? I know it's rough. Times was rough. Man, this happened today. That happened last week. You know, I don't know what's going to happen next week, but you know what? If I just stay strong, be still, stay strong, keep my mind and my wits together, you know, because, man, as we said,
you're still here. You're still among the living.
How
hard it can be to be among the living, you are still here. You're not done yet. You still have things you need to accomplish.
All right. Okay. Now, that's not coming from me, Nanda. Y'all listen to her. Okay. All right. Sandra's telling you what's going on. So, when is the single going to drop and where can we hear it? Where can we get it?
So it will drop June 15th along with a video. So I'm just, we're going all out. So yeah, I'll be shooting the video in May, but the single will drop on the 15th of June. So you'll get it on every major digital platform, even my website. So, you know, the Amazon, the Spotify, the Apple, everywhere we're used to buying digital music at this point, so.
Yes, right.
Well.
Welcome to the 21st or 22nd century. Well,
literally.
You know, I don't know where we are right now.
We're almost at Mars, so you don't know.
Right. Okay, all right. So if people want to get in contact with you, man, you know, because you do have a story to, you know, share, and there are those who are going through, you know, hey, this is a rough time. I don't, you know, like, everything that you've gone through, they're like, they are going through it, they live it every day, you know, whether it be one person in a house working, or, you know, a person, you know, in a relationship that's toxic or what have you.
Yep.
Like, where can people get in contact with you?
So the first point of entry, I always tell everyone, come to my website, CassandraDason.com. You know, social media is great. I have all the handles. I'm on all the channels. But, you know, the day someone decides to do away with Facebook or whatever, I always believe in having your own little space on the internet, you know? Yeah. So it's CassandraDason.com. My Twitter and Instagram handle is @CassandraDason. I am approachable. So if you want to at me and say hello, if you want to send me a DM and you want to chat about something, mental health, music, whatever, I am not one of those people who are like closed doors and, you know, you can only talk to me one way. No, I encourage people to drop a message, say hello. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve.
Okay. All right. Look, I have enjoyed this conversation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to tell you right now, like this is like very well informed, you know, because as I said, you know, this isn't from a, you know, a book perspective or, you know, a professional perspective. This is from an everyday perspective, and not only everyday perspective, but we gave it to you, you know, the best way we knew how, you know, for the time that we are allotted, you know, to give you. And I just want to say, you know, for those of you who are going through, you know, depression or anxiety, man, keep going, keep fighting. However you can get some help, you know, because not all of us can afford, you know, a therapist. If you have somebody positive that you can talk to, whether it be a coworker, you know, or the person down the street, you know, hey, you know what? I dump my garbage every Thursday. Ed comes out. You know what? Let me talk to Ed for 5 minutes about something that will take my mind off everything that's going on. Please do so. Get whatever help you can. All right. But I have come to my very last question. The question that my show is known for, so I have to ask. Miss Cassandra Dason, what is the one word that best describes you and why?
I'm curious. Okay. By nature, I'm always seeking to learn. I read hours a day, whether it's just, you know, news, whether it's short stories, whether it's essays, whether it's other people's lyrics. I'm constantly taking information in and assessing and evaluating, how can I apply this to life? How could this maybe help somebody else that I know? I'm a sponge. Okay. Yeah, literally, I absorb everything. My mother always said that. She's like, you always ask these like existential questions, you know, like, she's like, I cannot keep up with you. But yeah, that keeps me constantly learning. It helps me to become wiser. And again, it helps me in my work to help others. You know, I know it's like one of those Jill of all trades, you know, mistress of many, like that's where I'm at in life. Like I like to know a lot of things so that it's not just for me, it's to help others. So okay. Yeah, Chris.
So I have a word for that. Actually, it's two words. So my two words for you would be informative talent.
Thank you.
All right. And I'm going to tell you why it's informative talent. First and foremost, as you just said, you know, you're very inquisitive. You know, you want to know as much as possible. You know, so when you know as much as possible, because I'm like that sometimes. I'm going to date myself, but I used to watch this TV show, Cheers, in the 80s. Okay. All right. So there was this guy named Norm, I believe.
Yeah.
So Norm, and he had this buddy Cliff Claiborne or something like that.
Yep.
And Cliff was a know-it-all. Cliff was a know-it-all type of person. I believe he was a postman.
Yeah, he was a mailman. Yeah.
All right. You know, he was a mailman, but like every time somebody would say something, like he would have the actual fact about
it. Yep.
And I always gravitated towards that because I like to have facts. And I too like to learn. So I can definitely get with the informative side. Talent, and I'm gonna tell you why talent. First and foremost, well, it's self-explanatory. You do have all the talent in the world. But along with that, talent isn't really made for us, even though we have it. It's not for us. It's for us to share and give to others. So when you give the information along with the talent, you know, to others, and you spread that, you get Cassandra the same. Boom. See, man.
That's how nice wordplay.
Right? Okay. That's how we roll around here at Word with Ty Bravo. Okay, man. Look. Once again, I have enjoyed you. I have enjoyed your story. This has been great. You are more than welcome. Please, more than welcome to come back, you know, at a later
time.
Like, you know, share your success with us. Man, we will be more than happy to have you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Word with Ty Brownlow. I have been your host, Ty Brownlow. You can follow me on all social media platforms. All social media now at Word with Ty Brownlow. Okay? But you can also go to my website, because I too like Cassandra. I have my own website. www.tybrownlow.com, and you can get this wonderful interview along with other great interviews. And I thank you.
And thank you.
We out. Peace.